T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Hour three. Forgot to say hour three.
You're getting there.
We are well into hour three.
You're creeping toward the...
last time I said hour two when it was almost hour three.
You're only a half hour
halfway. Yeah. I'll nail hour four.
I know you will.
And hour five, I will be headed towards my afternoon nap, getting ready for late night baseball.
Come on. You are tired.
I'm a nap guy. No, I'm not tired, but you got to plan ahead. You got to nap ahead. You got to bank away some sleep.
Okay.
It's like the afternoon nap in hockey, one of the most important part of a hockey player's day on game day.
Yeah.
Getting that nap in the afternoon.
They do the fraudulent morning skate.
Morning skate. They're not fraudulent. Some guys need it.
Okay.
Not everybody needs it. And then after the morning skate, you get your nap, and then it's game time. Last night, Bruins winning 3-1 in Toronto. Now they come home looking to put it away at the Garden tomorrow night, covering it for NBC Sports. Down between the glass on ice level is Pierre Maguire, who we're trying to call up right now. Do we have him? Pierre, are you there?
I'm here, Tommy. Good to talk to you. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Good to talk to you. Tell us, first of all, do you still take an afternoon nap? I think that's important. I know the players need that afternoon nap. Are you still a nap guy, Pierre?
Oh, yeah, I usually do, but today I won't be able to. I had to fly from Toronto to Minnesota to Pittsburgh. Believe it or not, I've just arrived in Pittsburgh, so today I won't have a chance to have a nap.
Oh, that's the worst feeling. That and not being able to check into a hotel to take a nap. But you get the cachet, Pierre. You can do that.
There you go, Rob. Yeah, that's right.
No off days for Pierre. Moving on to the next series. Tell us what it was like at ice level last night. The Maple Leafs, early in that second period, I thought seemed to have control of that game. How'd the Bruins get it back?
Character, goaltending, leadership. David Backes is not getting enough credit for the way he leads on the bench, and he's an extension of the coaching staff. I also think coaching comes into play. Whether it's Jay Pandolfo or Joe Sakic or Kevin Dean or Bruce Cassidy. I mean, these guys have the finger of the pulse of their team. They had to create a different kind of game plan and a different kind of lines last night, obviously, because of the Patrice Bergeron situation. Sean Corrali stepped in really well, obviously, as a third-line center, moving him up from the fourth. And I thought Riley Nash did a great job as a first-line center. But you look at the way the team plays. They don't quit on one another. I've done playoff series this year, whether it be Philly or Pitt or even Toronto and Boston, where there have been instances in the games where teams have kind of mailed it in on each other. Boston has not done that, not one time in any playoff game this year.
Well, you know, you mentioned coaching, and you were obviously up close and personal with the Bruins went on their Stanley Cup run, and Claude Julien's the coach, and you mentioned what a good job Cassidy's doing. What's the difference in terms of how you view, because a lot of the same players are on there, how you view that bench compared to the bench that Julien was on?
The bench is pretty similar in terms of how it's run, but the biggest thing is strategy and structure. Bruce lets his defensemen get more engaged. It would speak to Torrey Krug's career year. It would speak to the way Kevin Miller has really evolved as a player. It would speak to what Matt Grizzlick has done as a defenseman. If you look at the Bruins on every one of their tandems, when healthy, McAvoy's an offensive force. Krug is an offensive force. Grizzlick can be an offensive force. Miller's evolving into an offensive force. And then you have the stoppers like Chara and McQuaid. So I think that's one of the biggest differences between what Claude's system was like and Bruce's system. They find a way to get defensemen involved in their offense, Rob, and it really makes a difference.
Yeah, Pierre, you mentioned the depth of this team. They find out they don't have Patrice Bergeron. He skates yesterday morning. He doesn't play in the game last night. Guys get moved around a little bit, but as you said, Corrali steps in here. Riley Nash has played well. They didn't go to Donato, who I think some people thought Ryan Donato might get thrown into that last night. You're going to see Pittsburgh, who's probably got the best top players of any team, but does the Bruins' depth give them that chance to go deep because they can roll four lines and get contributions out of everybody?
Oh, yeah, if they can get out of this series early with Toronto, I think Boston could be a giant slayer, and I would say really create something that's unbelievably special. But again, I think a lot of it comes down to the winning experience of Zdeno Chara. It comes down to the winning experience of Bergeron, David Krejci. You know, you got three elements to that team that know what Brad Marchand, they know what it takes to have hoisted the Stanley Cup. That's an important part of this whole thing. And that's why Pittsburgh is doing what they're doing in Philadelphia right now. They understand the equation of winning. Philadelphia is still trying to figure it out. And they probably won't be able to this year. But that being said, they're going to be good long-term. But I think that's a big part of it, Tom. I really do with Boston. Guys that understand that process of winning at this time of the year.
You know, along those lines, you see teams go deep. And obviously, you have to have the good goalie. The goalie's on a hot streak throughout the playoffs. But another big part of it is what we're talking about, the resiliency. You lose Bergeron and you step up. The last time they lost Bergeron, they stepped up as well. This from the Bruins team that you've seen, is this the sort of thing that you think is going to be able to carry the kind of, for lack of a better term, the character of what this team is about right now?
That's a great question, Rob, and I totally agree with that. I'll give you an example. Last night I asked Riley Nash when I interviewed him post-game about that, and he basically said, hey, we had to go through this the entire year, and we handled the opportunities pretty well. And so it's a big part of what they're about. They've adapted this next man up philosophy. People forget when this team wasn't looking too good at the beginning of the year and they went on that West Coast trip, it wasn't Tuukka Rask who was in goal. It was Anton Hudobin. And so that's another part of it. You know, Hudobin did a great job. He went in and got the team moving, and they developed some mojo. They came back from that trip, and all of a sudden, boom, they're good. They're really good, and they're tough to play against. So I think character is a huge part of it. There's no analytic equation for character, but I would tell you this. Don Sweeney and Cam Neely understand what character is. Both of them are character players. And I don't think their scouts are allowed to look at players unless the players have character.
Pierre, you mentioned goaltending. We're talking to Pierre McGuire of NBC. You know, you mentioned goaltending just now. And Tuukka, I thought last night, about 12, 13 minutes into that first period, it was 1-1. And Toronto was peppering him. The house was rocking. Really felt like the ice was tilting in on him. He gave his team a chance to win by keeping him in and getting through that flurry. And yet he's a guy here, and quarterbacks in football, goaltenders in hockey, it's always so easy to second guess and say the other guy needs a chance. Does Tuukka Rask get enough credit for what he means to this team?
No, he does not. And you know what? I call it Tuukka time when I do the Honda starting goalies on NBC, because he always in the playoffs seemingly comes up with magnificent saves at key times of the game. If you look at the pedigree of Stanley Cup winning goalies, they always have to bail their team out once or twice a game. It doesn't always work. But last night, the key moment in that game was a breakaway save against Mitch Marner in the second period after the shot blocked by Morgan Riley, the stretch pass, and then boom, there's the big save, and Boston's not on their heels anymore. They're on their toes. If you don't get that save, you're down 2-1, and everything's against you, and you're probably not going to win. So he doesn't get nearly enough credit. And you know what? He is sensitive to Tuukka time. That's what I call it, the timely save.
And on the other end, you know, Anderson goes down quick on that DeBrusk goal. DeBrusk patiently waits it, finally goes upstairs when it opens up, and that's the dagger, right? They take the 3-1 lead. Has Toronto, how have they felt about the goaltending of Anderson in this series?
They like it. They don't have a problem with Freddie. They really don't. You know, game two obviously wasn't very good. Game one wasn't great. But I thought Freddie was a big story in game three, and so yeah, were the goalposts, obviously, the missed opportunities. The biggest thing, I think, last night was you could see the Bruins capitalizing on Toronto mistakes. Terrible. I was commenting on it the entire game how bad the ice was. The pucks were bouncing all over. It wasn't like that in game three. And then Jake Gardner steps up on a bouncing puck and loses that bouncing puck to David Pastrnak. And then all of a sudden, Pastrnak does his best imitation of Mario Lemieux and makes a spectacular play over to Brad Marchand, and he sticks it to the back of the net. That's a huge play with less than 3 minutes to go in a period. That's a gigantic play in a tie game. But the big one is, and I asked this to Jake DeBrusk on the bench, actually, during a TV timeout after he scored. I said, that was a great goal. Way to go, kid. And he goes, had nothing to do with me. That was David Krejci. And you know what? He's right. David Krejci was unbelievable on that play. It wasn't so much a shot block or the way he carried the puck. It's the way he was able to elevate that puck on bad ice, and all the players know how bad that ice was last night, and get it to lay flat. and put it right on the brush stick. That was a magnificent, magnificent play.
I'm curious, from your perspective, you've done a lot of these games in a lot of these buildings. We were talking earlier about what a difference it is in Toronto, the passion, the bigger arena. What's it like compared to Boston? And I'm not saying that either is a bad place, but is it just different from you, your perspective?
Boston's a harder crowd. Boston's a more amped up crowd. Boston's a much louder crowd, much louder. I would tell you that right now. Toronto's more of a corporate crowd. They don't boo their team very often. They're very supportive. The Bruins players know they have to produce for their fans. In Toronto, it's kind of taken as a fait accompli, as they say in French, just taken for granted. I think the Bruins, first of all, I love going to Boston to do games. I love going to Boston and coaching games because it's a hockey town. It's a big time hockey town and the fans are great. In Toronto, it's a little bit different. It really is. It's more of a corporate crowd. It's more of a suit and tie crowd. And they're not nearly as amped up. Now, when the team does great, they get pretty loud. But in Boston, they're loud all the time.
Well, yeah, you said a hard crowd, Pierre. I mean, you just have to go back to game two. They showed Joe Kelly drilling a Yankee, and the place goes nuts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that, and you brought up the you know, game two wasn't good for Anderson, but I thought that was a time, and sometimes, you know, you remember when they moved from the old Garden, we didn't know what would the soul of the new building be like.
Right.
I thought that was an intimidating crowd at times in game two on Saturday night at the Garden.
It was. I was down there, and I can tell you, it was a very intimidating crowd. And it's almost like they were sharks, and they were small in the blood. And they wanted to see more pain inflicted on Toronto. You know, I really think the Bruins fans love this team. You know, there have been other Bruins teams where they've been kind of lukewarm with them. I think they love this team. I think they love the direction that Donnie Sweeney and Cam Neely have taken this team. They're an exciting team to watch. You've got really good young star players evolving. Tom, you talked about Ryan Donato. He's one of those players that's evolving. We don't talk about Anders Bjork, who had shoulder problems this year. He's going to be a star player. You look at the development of Matty Grizzlick. You know, obviously Jake DeBrusk has done great. Donnie Sweeney, the fourth line, when it really is a fourth line with Corrali and Achari and Schaller. That's all on the pro scouts. That's a phenomenal job by Donnie and his group. It really is. So if I'm a Bruins fan, I'm really pumped. I told my bosses at NBC 2 years ago, we better get tons of Bruins games on. These guys are going to be really good because I know all the young kids coming up. I said, they've done a fantastic job with their scouting and development. They really have. They deserve a lot of credit.
Last question for me, Pierre. When you talk about going into this next game, is there anything that Toronto and Babcock can do? What do they have to do in order to get this back in the way they want to get it going?
Marner's going to have to take his game to another level. He's been the best Leaf forward so far, but he's got to go to another level. And so does Austin Matthews. Those two guys have to find a way as young players to take games over. If they can, then it becomes a more difficult equation for Boston to figure out. If they can't, Boston wins. That's just the way it's going to be.
One more from me, Pierre, before I let you go. I want to go back to what you're just saying about how Don Sweeney assembled this team. Got a lot of NCAA players, a lot of guys I call their games in college. And you mentioned character, and I think you're absolutely right about that. This team has that in spades. But I also think maybe Bruins fans are just realizing here over the last couple of months the high skill level of these players. I mean, I don't know that we've seen a team this skilled and this deep playing in Boston in a long, long time. Do you see it that way?
You'd have to go back to the teams that I coached against back in the early 90s when I was in Pittsburgh. You know, and you had Adam Oates and you had Raymond Bourque and you had, obviously, Cam Neely. I mean, you had a lot of really good players on those teams when we were in Pittsburgh. They went back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, you had some phenomenal, phenomenal players. So I think you'd have to go back that far to find. And Donnie was on, and Cam obviously were on both those teams, to go back and see how talented the Bruins were compared to this team.
Yeah, problem is, I became the host about 5 years after that. They were not that skilled in the late 90s.
Tom, I used to watch all the games when I was coaching in Ottawa, and I remember all the shows you did.
Yeah, I did the tough years, no question about that. Pierre, great to talk to you. It was fun watching last night. Enjoy Pittsburgh.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate it. Looking forward to getting to Boston tomorrow. Rob, really nice visiting with you. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Pierre.
Everybody.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.